establishing that order of the governing king line and the priestly line, that they had what they needed to do what God had called them to do. Verse 2 says, Thus speaks the Lord of hosts, saying, the people says, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then the word of the Lord came to Haggai the prophet, saying, is it time for you yourselves to dwell in your paneled houses and this temple to lie in ruins? Now, therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. He says, think about this. You have sown much and bring in little. You eat and do not have enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. You clothe yourselves, but no one is warm. And he who earns wages to put into a bag with holes. Thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the temple, that I may take pleasure in it and be glorified, says the Lord. You look for much, but indeed it came to the little. And when you brought it home, I blew it away. Why, says the Lord of hosts? Because of my house that is in ruins, while every one of you runs to his own house. Therefore, the heavens above you withhold the dew, and the earth withholds its fruit. For I called for a drought on the land and on the mountains, on the grain and on the new wine and on the oil, on whatever the ground brings forth, on men and livestock, and on all the labor of your hands. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing, and most importantly, the keeping or obeying of his word. You know, as we look at that, the compassion and mercy and long-suffering of God coming to his people in the midst of their neglect, he comes to them and brings a word to them and says, I just want you to consider, evaluate, look at your ways, look what's going on in your life and evaluate it. And can you recognize some of these things that have been taking place? It's the direct result of the fact that you got off mission with me. I gave you a mission to accomplish. I gave you a purpose to fulfill. I gave you a simple task. I provided everything you needed for that, but you chose not to follow that. And as a result, I've been doing things and bringing things and holding back things to as an indicator for you to reflect upon and recognize that you've gotten off center. You've gotten out of line with me. And as a result thereof, I've held some things back from you that you should have had, just not because I'm being hard on you or I'm being harsh to you. I want you to recognize you've taken your eyes off the agenda I've given you to accomplish. And as a result, I've let some things happen in your life that really shouldn't be going on had you just done what I asked you to do. And it's a great picture of a people who stood in need of a revival, stood in need of a restoration. They were confused. Think about this for a moment. Who are people that need revival? People that are confused with their mission. When you get confused with what you're supposed to be doing for God, you stand in need of God reviving us. Amen? And that's what happened. They were confused with their commission from God. God sent them there for a purpose, delivered them out of the hand of the Babylonians, used a pagan, ungodly king, and gave them the resources they needed to do what? To build and restore and establish his witness again in Jerusalem. And they started on it. They started out on a good note. They did that. They laid it out. They followed what they were supposed to do. But just a little bit of distraction came their way, and their mission became confused to them, and they just set it aside. And as a result, they started saying words like this: it's not time. Time's not right. Time's not right to do this, what God sent us to do. So they started doing their own thing. And what happens is, a people that stand in need of a restoration or a revival of God refreshing us, not only are they confused, but they they crippled in their counsel. They listening to other people rather than listening to God. And when we are crippled in our counsel, taking heed advice from people that are outside of the covenant purposes and the agenda of God, we get crippled in that. We need to be restored in that. Amen. We need to be brought back to a place where we start hearing and leaning and listening unto the Lord. And when we find ourselves in a position where we're calloused to the conditions that we're in, because they were, I mean, they were working, they were laboring, they were sowing, doing all those things, but they didn't have enough. They were discontent in life, just didn't have enough. The seed wasn't producing, their clothes wasn't enough for them, the food wasn't enough, the drink wasn't enough. They didn't have enough money, they just didn't have enough. The picture is this group of people who had very little contentment in life, and that is a direct result of getting out of order with God. When we stay in order with Him and we walk with Him, one of the clearest indicators of our lives of being used by Him is a content heart. A content, glad-hearted spirit in the work that He assigned to us. And when I find myself discontent, troubled in my spirit, when things are just not enough. We live in a society today that it's just not enough. I mean, you think about it. You got access to anything and everything, and it still ain't enough. Get the best of the best, and it ain't enough. It's never enough. Got more money floating around our society than they've had in all time, but it ain't enough. You with me? I mean, we got vehicles that are reliable and can fly and contact and reach people. We can communicate with Tammy Hayden over in Uganda. Pick up a phone and check on somebody in the hospital. Call a grieving mother who lost a daughter. Get in our vehicle and ride down, which would have took us if I left yesterday and went down and seen Miss John Etta 60, 70, 80 years ago, 100 years ago. That would have took me a little while to go nearly 8 miles down 498, wouldn't it? Now we can jump in and be down there in less than about 8 minutes. Could be down there. But we live in a society, and often in our own lives, it's just not enough. We're always looking for more. We're always wanting more. We're always needing more. And this is what God was revealing to the people in that day. They were confused in their mission for Him. They were crippled because of the counsel they'd been taking. They were callous to the conditions that they couldn't recognize. This discontentment was that they didn't have enough. The problem is that they were out of order with God. Just out of order with Him. And He tells us that. Look what He says over in chapter 2. You know, we've talked about these things in the past as it applies to God's anointing upon our lives. When God anoints us, He anoints us to authorize us, to approve us, so that when we do a work, it's acceptable to Him. It's saying God's hand, His favor, His presence, His Spirit being upon us. Look what He says on verse 10 of chapter 2. Let's just see. Because I know we're all prone to find ourselves in this position. We can belong to the Lord, can be His very own, washed in His blood, and at the same time, be in a position where we're not favored by God. Now, what I mean by favored, we're favored in Christ on Him, but the fact that we've gotten off our mission, we've gotten off course. And as a result, God says that He finds displeasure in us, and He tells us with this group of people at the time for whom He was using that got off, He says, I just begin reading verse number 10, on the 24th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius, you see all these historical references, He keeps giving us a time frame, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, now ask the priest concerning the law, saying, If one carries holy meat in the fold of his garment, and with the edge he touches bread or stew, wine or oil, or any food, will it become holy? And the answer would be, no. So that is saying that we, as the mission that we have, the priests, the mission they had things that were sanctified and considered holy. It was only holy because God declared it to be holy. You follow me? The only reason their garment would be holy or separated is because God said it would be. There was nothing different or special about it in particular. It was specifically the fact that God sanctified it with a word. He declared it holy. So if their holy garments went by something that was unclean, would they be able to transfer that holiness to that unclean thing? No, it wouldn't happen. Why? Because the only things that are holy is that which God describes to be holy or declares to be holy. Now the reverse, though, watch what he says about the unclean thing. He says, verse 13, and Haggai said, if one is unclean because of a dead body, touches any of these, will it be unclean? So the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Let's say the priest is in his outfit. He's clothed. He has the holy garments on. They're only holy because God has declared them holy. If he touches something that is unclean, that which was holy becomes what? It becomes unclean. Why? Because God declared it to be unclean. The holy garments was to be used specifically for holy things that God had described to be holy. And if it got out of that, then that which was holy would become unclean. Now he's fixing to translate that over to his people. He had set his people apart. The word holy means to be set apart. He set his people apart for a particular purpose. And when they got off that particular purpose, that which was holy has now become unholy, unclean, because it was being used for something that it wasn't designed for. And now it's unclean. Watch how he says it. Verse 14. Then Haggai answered and said, so is this people, and so is the nation before me, says the Lord, and so is every work of their hands, and what they offer is what? God says their witness as a people is unclean. Their work as a people is unclean, and their worship as a people is unclean, simply because they are touching or involved in things that I did not send them there to be involved in. I set them apart for work. That's called holiness. They got involved in something I didn't set them apart for. That's called being unclean. And the unclean can contaminate the holy, but the holy cannot have an effect on the unclean. Are you with me? This is what he's trying to get a point across. And you see, when God doesn't approve of us as a people because of getting off mission, he won't accept our work and what we offer. And as a result, he was revealing to them, that's why you can't get enough, because you've been unclean. You've gotten out of order. You're confused on the commission that I've given you to accomplish. That council has crippled your agenda with me. And as a result, you're hard, callous to the conditions of the fact that you shouldn't be in the condition you're in, but you are discontent with these things. It's not enough. And the only reason is because you got off mission with me. But I can restore that, and that's what we have here. You see, when Haggai gave that message, the scripture says that Zerubbabel and Joshua and the people heeded the word of the Lord. God stirred up their heart. They went out and started establishing that foundation, that temple again, and building on it. And God began to bless. And this is when he interacts here, what we just read in chapter 2. He's saying, I want you to think back. This is why I held these things back from you, why I didn't give you this and you didn't have this, and why these things were going on in your life. This is the reason why I didn't accept you. And I wasn't accepting what you did for me, and I wasn't accepting your worship of me. But I want you to make a record of it right now, to this day. Because you've honored and heeded me, you're going to see a difference in your increase. You're going to see a difference in your contentment. You're going to see a difference in every aspect of your life from this day forward. It's not going to be like it was. What it's been like the last 16 years, I'm fixing to open up the gates of heaven for you. And I'm fixing to pour out favor upon you. Why? Because I accept you. I will accept what you do. And I'll accept what you offer unto me. Because you're back on mission with me. Amen. That's what we find in this book of Haggai, of the difference in the fact of this people who had an anointing to do a work but didn't do it. Discontent. Compared to. Let's look over and just see the comparison in Hebrews real quick. Look in Hebrews chapter 1. Notice the conditions that we find. Now, Hebrews is a book that is dealing with the fact that Jesus is superior to everything. And in the first part of the book, it's dealing with that he is superior, better than all the angels. And it gives these descriptions of what did God ever say this to an angel? No. Did he give an angel the name of a son? No. And he says in verse number 8, of chapter 1, when he says, but to the Son, that is Jesus, he says, your throne, O God, is forever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved, listen to this, you have loved what? Righteousness and hated iniquity, lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with what? The all of gladness, more than your companions. The contrast that we find with the people in Haggai's day, who found themselves kind of taking care of themselves, not people who were in love with righteousness and hated iniquity, missing the mark with God, but what happened was, is that they were doing things on their own. You find a discontent, no gladness, trouble in their spirit, trouble in their work, trouble all around them, compared to Jesus, who was a lover of righteousness and a hater of iniquity. And God poured out the all of anointing of gladness upon him. Amen? The all of gladness. That is, in essence, it's a twofold picture. One, it's this anointing of the Spirit that God poured upon Jesus. One, because we know who Jesus is. He's the Son of God. But as a man, because Jesus was man, he loved righteousness and he despised lawlessness. And the all of God's anointing, that highly favor of God to pour upon him for a purpose, that mission that he was to accomplish, the Father poured it upon him more than all his companions. And that all of anointing, that all of gladness, that favor from God reflected in every aspect of the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, of the purpose of his coming, as Stephanie illustrated in song, the purpose of his coming to glorify his Father, the purpose of being a content and glad hearted, though he was moved with compassion for those who had no shepherd, and he was stirred with a righteous anger over those who misused the house of God. But they never got him off course, and he was full of content and glad-heartedness in all that he did and who he ministered to. And folks, that's what we need, that anointing upon our life in him, anointing of the all of gladness upon us, that we can be content in Christ, content in what he's called us to do, on mission for him, and having an impact on our society from day to day. Our family that know us most, that know us best, of being anointed by God for a purpose. That anointing of the Spirit of God just overflows out of our life. Simply goes back to simply putting faith and having a love for God's righteousness and wanting to do His will more than our own. Amen? It's where it all lies. And when I find myself, because I do, I find myself. Have you ever found yourself just not content with where you were? And I'm not saying not content in the position God puts you in or where you are. I'm just saying that you was always searching for something a little more. And I'm not saying, when I say searching for more, we need to be in seeking and searching for more righteousness, wanting to be clothed with more of heaven. The scripture says God puts that in us. I'm talking about that we want a little more of this and a little more of that, and we want bigger and better things and more. And when I don't have it, I'm discontent with life. Things and my spirit's not settled because I've got my eyes off the mission, what God's called me to do, and I put my eyes on my neighbors and this world around me, and I'd like to have what they have. I want a little bit of this and I want a little bit of that. Everybody gets there at times, right? Anybody void of that? Anybody got to the place where that doesn't bother you no more? Everybody wouldn't mind an extra dollar, right? You ever just wish you had a little bit more? Y'all too spiritual for me today. You ever feel like you're putting money in a bag with holes in it? Put it in your pocket. I mean, you put a five in, a 20 falls out. You ever just wonder where it all went? It's almost like you put a fire to it and it burned up. It's gone. You ain't got nothing to show for it. You ain't got nothing. You ever feel that away? And you're thinking, why? Well, we all find ourselves in those situations. And if we're not careful, sometimes we fail to recognize that some of those things are the direct result of us getting off course with what God wants us to do. And the answer would be is it's just going back and crying out to the Lord and saying, Lord, help me. You can give what you want to give to me. You can take what you want to take from me. I just want to be on mission for you. Help me be on your agenda. I don't want to be confused with what you called me to do, and I don't think God wants us to be confused. Amen? He wants you to know. He wants you to know the assignment. He wants me to know the assignment. He wants us to know. And he doesn't want us to be heeding counsel from everybody and their brother. He wants us to listen to him, heed his word, follow him, trust him, and he's going to take care of things that some things we don't even know that's going on. We know he's going to take care of those. But there's some issues that come our way we do know, and they can get the best of us. And he's promised he'd take care of those too. We just cast our care upon him. Amen? Just heed me. But I'm thankful for a message like Haggai who says, wait a minute. Hey. Consider your ways. Because you have failed to consider mine. Is the message. You failed to consider mine. So reevaluate your ways. Line them up with my ways. And I'll revive you in these days that you live in. And I'll use you. Amen? And that's what we need. I want to be content. I want to be glad. I want to be filled with Stephanie, as she said, joy. In my spirit, not based on what I'm in or going through. I may not always be happy with what I've got to face. You won't always be happy, but I can endure the unhappy things joyfully. Because knowing who we serve and who's taking care of these things. Amen? Some things are not easy. I'm sure when Jesus prayed in the garden and was sweating as if it were drops of blood, and he prayed, Lord, if this cup can pass over me, but not my will, what? Mine be done. That's where we want to be in our everyday life. There's some challenges that are going to come our way. that sometimes we're not going to want to have to face, but we can face them joyfully because we know that everything God does is going to make me more like Christ. Going to be used to glorify Him. Amen. Going to bless Him. None of us want to see loss. None of us want to lose loved ones. But that's inevitable. Those things are going to happen in our day, in our journey with the Lord. And either those things could help me become more like Christ, or I can pay attention to counsel around me that can cripple me. And I get confused. And when I get crippled and confused as a believer, I'm going to get downcast in my spirit and discontent. And the enemy will take advantage of me. I'll take advantage of myself. And before you know it, I don't know, it took 16 years before God brought a message and told them why these things were happening. I sure don't want to go 16 years down the road with all this behind me. I'm thankful for whenever, but I would rather be able to deal with it sooner than later. Amen. So thank the Lord for speaking and guiding and giving a word to help us consider our ways and ask Him for that fresh anointing that He will approve your witness as a man, as a woman, His, that He will approve the work that you're doing for Him. And when you worship Him, His presence will be manifested in your life. Amen. You bless it and use it. Father, we thank You. We want to honor You today and just praise You. Thank You for the message of this brief time in history that still applies and has a message for us today. Help us be men and women that can rejoice before You, that can find great joy in Your will, that we can be glad and be anointed for Your kingdom agenda. Keep us on mission. Keep it before, centered in our life. You will be glorified. Your people will be edified. And that we would see, Lord, Your praise lifted and Your name exalted in our land. For You are the desire of nations. I pray that we point people to You. In Jesus' name, amen.